This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman John Carter, Republican from the Lone Star State's 31st Congressional District. He's also been the point man for the GOP on trying to get Ways and Means Committee Chairman Charlie Rangel to step down during ethics investigations into the congressman's behavior. Now Rangel has said he will temporarily step aside as the ethics investigation continues. And Congressman, thanks so much for your time.
Well, thank you. Thanks for visiting with me.
Well, I know you have introduced a resolution on the floor multiple times, and we're preparing to do so again. What's your reaction to the news that Rangel will temporarily step aside?
Well, I'm going to ask. I want to double check and see what it means. The way I read the rules, you can't temporarily step down. You either step down or you don't step down. So I'm going to try to get a ruling on that today. And if he has officially stepped down, and Pete Stark's now the chairman, and if he has to, in order to get back in the chairmanship, His chairmanship has to be approved by the whole House, which I think that's the rule, then I'm satisfied. And if not, I will introduce a resolution.
What do you think made the difference? Just a few days ago, Nancy Pelosi didn't seem to think that there was any urgent need to remove Rangel. What changed?
They made this big noise about going to have the most ethical Congress in history. They've been basically avoiding and ignoring this ethics issue. It's much bigger than the one letter that's come from the Ethics Committee, and I think that they came to the realization that this is a serious ethics issue, and there are more issues to come for Mr. Rangel. Hopefully they're doing to do it in the best interest of the Congress. I don't know, but it certainly is, in my opinion, the best interest of the Congress.
Rangel himself today said that he didn't want to have his Democratic colleagues trying to defend his actions or the allegations against him while they were trying to run for re-election. So is this about principle or more about politics, do you think?
It sounds like that statement. It was more about politics.
So what happens from here? How do you get the clarification you
need? I'll ask the parliamentarian about it. If they say that he's still the chairman, which I think is not true, then I'll file my privilege resolution to ask him to step down as chairman.
What do you think is the lesson here, the fact that it has taken this long? Obviously, the opposition party usually is crying foul more than the party of the person in the microscope, but what's the lesson for both parties potentially out of this?
Well, this is the third. I've already filed two privilege resolutions asking him to resign over the last 18 months because I've been seriously inquiring into this now for 18 months and talking about it on the floor of the House almost weekly for about an hour each time in the evening, because I come from a world of there's rules and you either violate them or you don't violate them. If you violate them, there's consequences. I was a judge for 20 years, and it's part of the way the rules work. And so I was just, when he went on the floor and confessed these things to us and then said he was turning over to the Ethics Committee, I really felt like it was that he was taking the position that he was kind of throwing it off into a bottomless pit that would never be dealt with again because of the fact that the Ethics Committee is deadlocked, you know, between the two parties. It's exactly even. And so, you know, and it took 2 years for this thing to come up. But they are doing their work, and I commend them for it. And they seem to be continuing forward, and I commend them for that. Whichever way they rule, they needed to rule. This needed to be resolved. It needs to be taken off of our plate as members of Congress.
You mentioned the fact that the Ethics Committee is split evenly between Republicans and Democrats, and that might be one of the reasons why it takes a while. What else can you tell us about how that committee works, since some of these allegations, particularly the income tax evasion allegations, have been around for many, many months? So some folks are wondering why it takes the Ethics Committee to take as long as it does.
I have never served on the Ethics Committee, and really the workings of the Ethics Committee are fairly secretive by rule, by law. And however, they did put out an interim report that pointed at quite a few. I mean, I forgot the number, but it was maybe hundreds of witnesses that they had interviewed and reports that they had written and depositions that they had taken. So they've been working diligently on it. But it is done behind closed doors and by the rules it is kept secret.
Was your initial concern over the Rangel allegations that there were potentially ethics violations in general, or that the violations specifically dealt with issues that he was dealing with as chairman of the committee in terms of his ability or inability to pay taxes while he was writing tax law?
Well, the thing that jumped off the page at me when he made his statement to the Congress was the fact that he said he had paid the back taxes that he hadn't paid for 10 years, and that if they charged him any penalties and interest, he would pay it. And I thought to myself, if everybody I've ever known that got behind their taxes, they had to pay penalties and interest. So I started inquiring about that, and that was the real issue that I started out asking about was, why does the chairman, the number one tax writer in the United States in the House of Representatives, get some kind of slack cut that the average citizen does not get? And people perceive that we get special privileges up here, and I don't think that's where it's supposed to be. I think that's a particularly egregious special privilege, and I don't think just anybody gets that privilege. And just like Mr. Geithner's in the same category, I don't think the Secretary of Treasury ought to get special privileges. But it seems like somehow these two people who are kind of over the IRS seem to have gotten special privileges. And that's a lot of what I've been talking about.
Congressman, as you know, congressional approval ratings are at record lows, and I'm sure there are multiple reasons for that. How much of it do you think is related to ethical issues that have popped up for both parties over the last few years?
I think that started it all, and quite honestly, when the Democrats took over the majority and the House, they basically burned the House to the ground over issues of ethics. They accused every Republican of being a crook, even though every Republican's not a crook. And instead, what happened was the perception of the public was that every member of Congress was a crook. And I will tell you that every member of Congress is not a crook. There's an awful lot of dedicated, hardworking people up here, even though the polls don't believe that. And that's a real tragedy for our nation, for people to look at the legislative body of our country with such jaundiced eyes. And that I think we all have a duty to kind of correct that issue. And I'm concerned about it.
Well, Congressman, you've certainly taken steps to try and make sure that ethical behavior is happening on Capitol Hill. Thanks very much for your time today, sir.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Texas Congressman John Carter represents his state's 31st congressional district. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.